Romans chapter 5. We're going to read here down through around verse 11 and then a few comments along the way, particularly around verse 8, kind of where I've been thinking. But we're going to read here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." I have a little hard time with that one sometimes. "And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love, commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." All right, we thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. And I just be quite honest with you, when I first got saved, I lacked a lot of knowledge and still do. I've been saved for quite a while, but it's a learning experience. Every time you get real serious about wanting to draw closer to the Lord, you'll learn some things. And when I first got saved, I was happy, and of course I'm still happy. I didn't understand a lot, and I always thought, well, this Old Testament, we don't really need the Old Testament, the old law. It's kind of just because I didn't know. And the more I've read, and the more I study, and the more I understand, and the more that the Holy Ghost gives you understanding, the more you realize how everything ties together. And it's one great bundle of love is what it is. When you realize, and I've grown to realize this even more. Let me get through the crying here, then I'll straighten out and we'll preach here in just a minute. But the more I've learned the depths of sin, and how honestly, how wretched and vile and nasty sin is to a holy God, a lot of us don't really understand that. We're not God, we don't understand. We're in this world of sin, and we don't have the mind of God. We can't understand a lot of things. We can't understand through his word. But even more in the last probably 3 or 4 years, I've understood more myself just how bad sin really is in God's eyes. And the more I've studied God's law and how it pertains to so much of the scripture and how much Christ fulfilled the law and all these things, I've realized even of late just how wretched sin really is. And I think honestly we've missed the mark in a lot of areas. Just for the simple fact that because we're around it so much, we just thumb our nose at sin, and we don't think about it in this whole world. And we look at the sinners out there in this world, which we were, if you're saved, and we don't look at them with the compassion that we should have, or that we should. If you're lost, you're lost, and folks that are lost don't know a lot of stuff. They don't have a lot of values that we do. But I was over at Belshare this past weekend, and I don't go over there just to run around. We go over there and hand out tracts, and we had Brother David, he slipped in there with us, and Brent. We went on a Friday night and handed out, I don't know, 200-300 tracts probably, talked to some folks, and went back on a Saturday night, and it was worse Saturday night, brother. I shouldn't have went so late, but anyhow, we did. We went later than usual, and it's starting to get a little rough, so I just have to get out of there because I'm kind of like Peter. I lack a little bit on a cheek-to-cheek basis, I'm afraid if somebody comes against me, I'm afraid of what I might do. I may not be hardly as sanctified as some of y'all. But just don't mess with me. I guess the best way to figure it out. But anyway, I was going to get out of there before anything started. But anyway, what I'm trying to get to here is there's some old boys up there preaching. And some of them's doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. Some of them just preaching on everything that just walked by, you know. And of course, they were stirring up trouble. And, you know, people, you know, was making fun of them. And they were all the guys that were preaching, even when we was handing out tracts. But I got over there kind of in the middle. And there was a guy over here preaching, and he had the Ten Commandments out, and he's preaching about sin and what Christ would do for him. He was on kind of one area, and another guy was over here, had some signs saying God is love and all this. And I was just kind of standing there in the middle, kind of watching what was taking place. It was kind of intriguing me. Like I said before, I kind of like to look and kind of figure out motives and things, but I got to looking at the crowd to see what was taking place. And this old boy over here that was preaching about sin and telling the folks about their sin and how they were sinners, which is the truth. And I even talked to a couple of Christians there that said, oh, these guys ought not to be talking about sin. And he said, we need to talk about love all the time. And I was, well, okay. Well, they're sinners. Well, they said, yeah, we understand that. But we ought to tell them about love, so you shouldn't tell them about sin then. No. I was thinking now, where are we headed here? But I stood right in the middle in the street, and I watched them over here mocking the preacher that was preaching about sin and preaching the book. And they was gnashing at him, had signs up. We'll not go into great detail about the signs that was there. Some of the things that were said, I'm not going to go into those details, but it was clearly to try to take the attention away from what the man was saying, you know. And we understand that going in. The other guys over here had to sign God is love, which we know as children of God, God is love. And this is what intrigued me. There was no stir over here. No commotion. Everybody was hanging around, hugging on each other. And one of the guys from another ministry was over there, and there was some some of the homos that was up there. Came over and he said, God loves you. I look at Dennis when I say that. God loves you. Yeah, anyway. But this is what happened. He come up to him and says, well, if God loves me, I don't need to change then, do I? I thought, huh. Well, that little guy from the ministry just turned tail and went back to his truck, went to the house because he didn't know what to do with that. And you think about that just a little bit, and it really got him. Because that's all he was telling him is God loves you, and that was it. Nothing about his sin or anything else. But the guy that over here was talking about the sin, everybody was mocking and making fun of him because he was telling the truth. I'm not saying that God is not love. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm telling you, you've got to understand the depths of your sin before you can really, truly realize the love of God. We can talk about it all day long to a lost man, but until they understand the depths of sin and their sin nature and who they really and truly are, they can't ever come to the grips and realization just how much God is love. And I'm telling you, the older I get as a Christian, the more sweet grace is to me, because more and more I learn the depths of sin. And I understand these things. So it's, I guess what I'm trying to tell all of us is to realize that we just can't go around telling people God just loves them and turn around and walk off, because we've got to get involved here. We've got to get out of the church walls and realize, listen, there's a world dying and going to hell, and we need to have some compassion on them and tell them the truth, because I'm telling you, truth outweighs everything. It takes away opinions and everything else. So that kind of intrigued me about what was going on there. And that's kind of what I was looking at here in Romans and thinking about this. and mainly in verse 8. Because he was talking about in verse, and I'm going to try to get these and show you what he's talking about. Verse 6 through about 8, 9, 10, 11, something right there. But first thing I wanted to see and show you in Romans, because the book of Romans is great. And honestly, to a lot of folks, it's a hard book to understand and comprehend, and it really is. I'm more and more understanding the book of Romans, and it's getting more precious all the time, because you really see how sweet grace is, because he's all through the book of Romans talking about law and talking about grace. Not that we're doing away with the law, but Christ fulfilled the law. We got to understand that the law, listen to me, listen real close. We got to understand the law God put forth for man to understand how wretched and sinful we really are. Listen, you can read the Ten Commandments and you can see there's not a one of us clean here. Somewhere along the way, we've told a little lie or a little white lie or maybe stole a little time or something, lusted, coveted. You know, there's some. We're all, each and every one of us here, there's not a one of us here that's not did that somewhere. So the very law, and listen to me real close, what I've got to say, the law is condemning. The law shows us our sin and our sin nature and who we really are. Even the first chapter of Romans talks about the nature of man and how sinful we are. And over in the second chapter, it talks about it. And in the third chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've read that. In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says, without the law, he had known not covetousness. And then over in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. That is within my flesh. You see, that's what the law does. It shows us. We can't live without it because it shows us our sinful nature. And I'm afraid the church is moving to where we're just patting people on the back. We don't want to tell the truth anymore because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. That's my nature. I don't really want to offend nobody, but I'm telling you, it's coming close to the time where the Lord's coming back for His church. And if we as God's people don't get serious about serving the Lord and telling the truth and quit patting people on the back, we're going to be in trouble. That's why the church is weak. That's why there's so many problems is everywhere, because the truth's not being told in a lot of places. Thank God for a preacher that don't mind preaching here and will tell it like it is. I've known Brother Darren for a lot longer than probably some of y'all, except maybe some of his kinfolk here. But I appreciate Brother Darren. I hope he's not listening right now. Turn it off, brother. I'm going to talk about you. No. But I love Brother Darren because he'll preach the whole book, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Amen. But we got to understand this. We're going to look here in the first part of Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a few things. verse 6 talks about, for when we were yet without strength. That's talking about when we were lost, when we were yet with it. This is our condition. If there's anybody here today that don't know Christ as your Savior, listen to me. This is your condition. You're without strength. You don't have it within you. Neither do any of us have the strength within us to overcome our sin nature, to be holy before God. We can't. Honestly, everywhere you turn, it's a work salvation. People are trying to work their way in to make themselves look good and appear good when God knows the truth. We are without strength. We cannot, never, on our best day, be good enough to enter 1 second in the glories of heaven, stand before a holy God, because He will not look upon sin. I'm telling you, the law of God is condemning to the point where it would completely wipe out a race of people. That's how condemning the law is. You look at it and you read it for yourself and you'll realize that it's nothing but the wrath of God. When it's all said and done, none of us, no, not one, can stand before Him in our own strength. We are without strength. We don't have it within us. Completely depraved, completely. Nothing but 90 cents worth of commercial fertilizer when we die is about it. And the way the dollar is now, probably less than that. But we are completely without strength. We're nothing but flesh and bones. Nothing but flesh and bones. So we're without strength. Another one talks there in verse 6. At the end of that, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. He goes on to say in verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. So there again, it's telling our condition. Verse 9 talks about, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Listen, we abide in His wrath. I want y'all to get a hold of this. I know this might be a little boring to some, and some may get a hold of it. All I ask is that the Holy Ghost get a hold of all of us for us to realize how sweet grace is when this thing's over with. I'm telling you, I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not going to tell you you're kings and priests today, and that you're sweet and everything's wonderful and you just speak good things and everything's going to be fine. I ain't going to do it. It ain't in my Bible. Amen. We'll be easy on that one. But we see right there, even in verse 10, the Bible says, "For if, when we were enemies," you see, that's talking about who we are before we became a child of God. But in the flesh, that's still who we are. You understand what I'm saying here? The law actually does condemn me and you. It completely condemns us. Now, you think about this. Had Christ not come, and we were left holy and completely in the law, where would we stand today? On our way to hell is where we would stand. Because we were at strength. We were enemies. The wrath of God abides on us. All these things are scriptural to let us know who we really are. But this is what's kind of amazing to me. Even in all that, the sovereignty of God just absolutely, I love it. It amazes me that before the foundation of the world, God had this thing planned that he's going to send forth his son. Listen, because he knew what mankind was. He created us. But in the fall, in the garden, when every man took on sin nature, always have been. We can't help that. You may think you can, but you can't. You may try to live right and do right and come to church and tithe and say the right things and do the right things, but when all boils down to it, without Christ, you're dying and on your road to hell, with your eyes wide open. You can be nice and sweet and butter up to the preacher and his wife, the deacons or whoever, but I'm telling you, friend, the depths of your sin outside of the grace of God and the blood atonement of Christ, you're dying and going to hell. And that's just the truth of the matter. And we got to understand that the law was so condemning about mankind and God's wrath and judgment on mankind. Without Christ, where would we be? But what amazed me about verse 8 over there in Romans chapter number 5, it says, "But God." I mean, we can see all the wrath. We can see our nature, everything laid out right there where we can all see it. And then in verse 8, it says, "But God." I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me just a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but that gets me completely out of the equation right there. But God stepped in. Right. And I can just imagine God sending his son from heaven, just bowing down from the glories of heaven, become a man of flesh and a little baby to come down here and pay a price that I couldn't pay, nor a debt that I could pay. Right. Can't do it. But God. You can look all throughout Scripture at that little term, but God, and if you don't have "but God" in there, you've probably got the wrong version of the Bible, say, right there, amen. A lot of them don't have "but God" in it. But God, and when you look right here at this word right here, "but God commendeth." Commendeth, that word right there kind of takes on us. Let me give you a definition of commend. Commendeth, or commend, says assigning something. Listen real close to this. I'm not big on words myself. I'm still redneck. I say y'all and ain't and would you, did you, them kind of things. But every now and then there's a word pops up there that just kind of stirs you a little bit, that you look up and you see how wonderful it is. But it says this word commend is to assign something to someone for safekeeping. And that's what God did. Knowing our sinful nature, knowing that we don't have the strength, we don't have anything to stand before a holy God, he commended, he assigned his love to me and you. He assigned it for our safekeeping. It's what he did. And it's not a love like we have for each other, for our family, our children. No. God's love is a chosen love. It's a choice. He chose to love us outside of any emotions, outside of any reason, outside of anything else, because we were all vile sinners without strength, unholy. The wrath of God abided on us. It's nothing but God could do something like that. And when I got to thinking about that, and I think about how I used to be, and what God, how, it just amazes me. No wonder that song Amazing Grace is just my favorite one, especially all 14 verses of it. It's wonderful to think about what God stepped in and did for me and you. That He bowed down from heaven, left the glories of heaven, a sinless place, bowed Himself, and came to this old world to save an old wretched sinner as myself. I know we've heard the songs, "Oh, vile sinner, oh, wretched sinner like me," but I'm telling you, it's the truth. And that's why I got, when I was looking up there at Asheville and those things were taking place and the people were railing at this guy for telling the truth, and this guy over here didn't want to stir anybody, and he didn't. He didn't. But it was a wonderful opportunity for evangelism. It was a blessing. Before the weekend was over, I think we handed out, gosh, I think 600 tracts up there. And talked to a lot of the firemen because of the, you know, lost a fireman over there in Asheville. And they were very tender. Gosh, I witnessed probably 20 some. And they listened. They listened. And I was telling them like it is. They listened and said thank you when I left. I'm telling you, if you'll stick with the truth, it'll work. But he says right here, "But God commendeth His love toward us." Toward us, toward me and you, in that while we were yet sinners. Now I've done shown you through even in this one verse what kind of sinners we really were. But even while we were yet sinners, God commended, or He assigned His love toward us for our safekeeping. Thank God for that. We're saved. Are y'all still with me? Wake up. Open your eyes. Hallelujah. Hang in there. Amen. He says, and into that says, and this is kind of like two parts right here in this verse. "He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us. He paid that sin debt. I want you to get a real hope on how bad your sins are. I'm not talking about smoking cigarettes. I'm not talking about drinking. I'm not talking about all that stuff right there that everybody jumps on. Brother, I didn't get an amen one out of this bunch on that one. I'm talking about your sin nature. From the Garden of Eden, it was put into me and you as a sinner. It's not about stuff. There's a lot of stuff not good for you. But our sin nature of who we really are is sinners. Can't help it. From the Garden of Eden, I was born into sin. I was conceived into sin. I couldn't help it. You know how little babies can cry on demand? They learn real quick who they can manipulate, don't they? Some pick them right up, some let them cry for a little while. They learn real quick who they can kind of work. Even before they can talk, they do. Why? Why do you think that is? Even those little precious babies we've got learn how to manipulate. Why? It's in them. They learn. It's their nature. And they grow up and become somebody like... No, I'm just kidding, bro. But if we could ever really get a hold of how wretched and vile our sins truly are, I'm telling you what, grace gets better every day. It's sweeter every day. It really does. And when we realize that, when we're talking to folks and witnessing to them, I mean, I don't get to preach in a whole lot of places, but most time when I'm preaching, it's stuff about this. It's about witnessing to somebody. It's about telling them the truth. I don't get a whole lot of pastoral stuff. That's Brother Darren's job. And Clay's. No. But evangelism. Look at me real close. That's a word that's almost left our churches. What is our job here? What's the deacon's job here? Now, I'm not bashing anybody. I think who's my deacon now? I think it's Brent. God help me. He's not here, so I'll pick on Brent. But honestly, scripturally speaking, when you look at Stephen over there in the sixth chapter of Acts, a deacon's job is to get the gospel out of there. That's what Stephen did. The Lord chose him to preach. I understand that. And the deacons have a lot of responsibility. And let me lay this on the deacon's behalf. The church puts a lot of things on deacons that ought not be put on them. Honestly. It puts them in a bad position a lot of time when they need to be witnessing for the Lord. That's one of their main jobs, is witnessing. Amen? I'm going to lose everybody on that right there when you start talking about deacons, don't you? No, it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong, and I'm not picking on anybody. That's not why I said that. But it's just an example of what we should be doing is evangelism. Our whole center of the church ought to be evangelism. Just like the school out here. Thank God it's coming because there's opportunities for evangelism through that. Everything that takes place ought to be in our mind about evangelism, winning the lost, and getting the truth out there. God knows there's a lot of things that are taking place that are not true. Out there. A lot of stuff. You turn on the TV and I'm telling you what, it's sickening. I don't turn it on long and listen to this stuff because there's a lot of things that's not true there. But I just want us to understand this church, because I'm a part of you and thank God for you. I want us to recognize and understand the depths of sin and the need for me and you to witness to this lost world out here, because they're getting a lot of stuff that ain't true. There's a lot of things taking place and there's no conversions taking place. I know sin sounds bad. The wrath of God sounds bad. All these things sound bad to us, but to God it's truth. Thank God we're not under the law. Thank God we're under grace. Amen. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. It's turned the tide of God's wrath. Thank God for that. Because I tell you, I deserved hell. I really did. When I learned the depths of my sin, I deserved it. But because of what Christ did on Calvary, He paid that debt. He paid my sin debt. So am I supposed to work to pay it back? Nope. You know why? Because I can't. I can love Him. But better than that, praise Him. Better than that, I'm His. That's what excites me more than anything. Is that the God of heaven would send His Son down to die for me, that I might have eternal life, that I might have liberty and freedom to serve Him. I don't have religion, I can guarantee you that. I got way past that a few years ago. Amen. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let churchianity and things grab a hold of you to where you're walking around with your hands like this going, I got to do this to make somebody happy. No, you need to get out of that. Get a hold of the depths of your sin and realize how bad they are, and you realize the gift that came to me and you through the Holy Ghost in us to give us joy and victory when we realize that we're not bound to that sin anymore, that we've got freedom in our lives to serve Him because I'm His. Yeah, we got to do a few things and pray and read our Bibles. Yeah, but you want to do that if you're saved. I do. I don't know about the rest of you, but I do. It ain't because I have to. It's because I want to. I read my Bible every day. Why? Because I want to. Not to gain favor with you, brother. As much as I love you. I do it because I want to. I want to understand more. I pray not to make you happy, brother or brother Darren. I pray because I want to talk to the Lord and thank Him for what He's done and ask Him to guide me. Because I missed the mark a whole lot. That's why I'm glad I'm His. He's not up there worried and twiddling his thumb afraid of what Tony's going to do, because he knows me better than I know myself, and that scares me. Whew, it really does, because there's no telling what I might do. Sophie, you missed a chance to say amen right there. She blew it, didn't she? I'm in trouble now, though. But honestly, church, when you read Romans and see the depths of our sin, shouldn't it compel us? Shouldn't it really compel us when we realize how bad sin is and we realize there's a world out here that's dying and going to hell without Christ, that's not heard the truth? Shouldn't it compel me and you to educate them and to tell them? You can tell them John 3:16 till you're blue in the face. They don't understand a word of it. I know that's shocking to a lot of Baptists, but it's the truth. They don't. I can testify. I used to back in the old days, get on the mountain and sing Amazing Grace and I'll Fly Away and all these songs, and I couldn't even hardly walk. Back in the old days now, back before I got saved, it meant nothing. It really didn't. It sounded good. I reckon that's, we figured we were religious with our Budweiser, but I'm just telling you, it meant nothing until I realized the depths of my sin. It really did. And that's what we got to understand, church. The world that we live, listen, we come here to fuel up. We come here to soak in God's word. We come to fellowship. That's what church is. It ain't a social gathering. You know, we don't come to dictate what takes, listen, we're a body. And we come to soak in from the Lord, to go outside of the church walls. That's what we're here to do, to soak it up, to realize the depths of our sin, and realize there's a world out here that needs Jesus, and that we got to take it to them. Because they're not coming here, are they? They're not. They're not. So if we don't tell them, what's going to happen? I know there's a responsibility that it lays heavy on us when we really get a hold of it, but so many of us are too timid to say anything, aren't we? I won't get you to raise your hands, because I know I used to be one too for a little while. But honestly, take that step. Talk to them. Tell them. You know what's going to win it over? We'll close here in just a second. I don't have a watch, so we may not. You know what's going to win them over? Listen to me real close. Are you listening? Smile if you're listening. Way back in the back, y'all wake up and smile so I know you're listening. Do I need to come back there? No, I won't come back there. You know what's going to win them? Look here. It's your compassion. It's your compassion. We had a food pantry there yesterday, and we had about 60 people come, and a lot of folks lost their jobs, and as this lady came, she's a little different color than me, but she was a nice lady. So we gave them food, and I don't just hand them a box of food and say, God bless you, and send them on down the road, because I usually follow them out to the car and hold the box, because they can't leave till I get through witnessing to them. Then I hand them the box. There's a method to the madness. But it works. Matter of fact, we had a brother, he came and brought his wife, took her home. He made about 6 trips back and bring somebody else in his community to get a box of food. But every one of them, we held that box and talked to them about the Lord. And there was one black lady there. She rode a Harley or some kind of bike. She had her leathers on and all this stuff. It was a real sight. But we gave them their food, and I was talking to her about the Lord, and big tears in her eyes. And she gave me a hug. Thank God that was all. But she gave me a big old hug and said, thank you for talking to me. And said, thank you for having compassion. And church, that's where it's at. Because there's a lost world out here that needs the church to be true. That needs a church to have compassion for lost people. That's what we need. Because when we understand the depths of sin in our own life, and we understand how sweet grace is, and we get compassion for the lost, and we start talking to them, and they see it in us, in our efforts to do and to help them, and to show them, yeah, some's going to get mad, and they don't want to hear it. But I've had some come back to me after they've done talk to me pretty rough and tell me, thank you for caring. They know who cares and who don't. And they really know who's telling the truth and who's just patting them on the back. So all this, I'm going to summarize it. Get right, brother. I'm going to summarize it. To understand the depths of our sin, Romans is plain about it. And to realize what Christ did for you, a sinner, he gave his life's blood for me and you. Hallelujah. Thank God for the night. I bowed an old coffee table and asked the Lord to forgive me for my sins. Thank God for the burden that came up off me, that heavy weight that came up off me that night. Thank God for that.
Thank God.
So I've grown in grace and knowledge and understand more now. But I'm telling you, church, we need compassion. A church without compassion is dead. A church without compassion, I'd just soon stay at the house. Amen. We need compassion. Every one of us. We're not dictators. We're not running things. We need compassion above everything else. Amen. How many's got some lost folks in their family? Let me see hands. Every one of us. We've all got lost people. I have. How many's got friends at work that are lost? All of us. When's the last time you really had compassion and a deep concern for their soul? You see how easy it is to slip off the path? We're human, and we get tied up so much. How many in here are lost without Christ? How many?